Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Zechariah Perek Tes, the ninth chapter of Sefer Zechariah. We are moving towards the end now. And at this point in time, we hear this Perek is really made up of two sections, and they seem to be quite disparate. They seem to be different from each other. So we really need to try to ask ourselves, when you see these different nevuahs, yes, we can perhaps go through the Mefarshim. We can understand what some of the Mefarshim say they refer to. But what's the overall structure? What is Zechariah trying to tell us overall right now? So let's take a look at these two brief sections and get some perspective. There are 17 psukim in this perek, and the first section is made up of the first eight of them, Aleph to Ches, and the remainder is Tes to Yod Zayin. Let's take a quick look over here. The first section is what's called a Masa. Masa means a burden of prophecy, which is usually when the prophet is looking outwards to the rest of the world, as we see the times of Yechezkel, as we see the times of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. And in fact, it is no different here. It seems like at this point in time, Zechariah is looking outwards with a prophecy. And what does he say? He talks about the word of Hashem, Be'eretz Chadaroch, in the land of Chadroch, whatever that means. And Damascus, with Damasek, is his resting place. What is it that he tells that there's going to be this anger, which is going to consume Tzor and Sidon, this Tyre and Sidon, and it's going to all their spoils and their wealth is going to be taken away. Other nation, Hashem is going to destroy them into the water and be consumed by fire. And Ashkelon is going to see it and be fearful. And Gaza will be terrified. And Ekron, all the cities of the Philistines, Ashkelon will be terrified when they see this happened. Ashdod, these are all in antiquity, in the times of old, were Philistine cities. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to remove their leaders, and they're going to all be in fear of Hashem. Now, there's no longer going to be oppressors to Israel, because I am going to be there or be present with them. So this is the first section of the prophecy. The first section of the prophecy seems to us what sounds like apocalyptic, sounds like end of days kind of description. What, just a few basic details and then an overall picture of the section. First of all, what is this place? Hadrach or Hadarach. What is it? So the Rashi actually quotes two opinions in the Midrash. He quotes Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, one of the famous Tanaim, the Stam Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, who would say, Zeh Mashiach, Shu Chad La'akum V'rach Li'Yisrael. It's a combination of two words, the word Chad V'rach. He is sharp, which is Chad, to the nations of the world, V'rach, and soft to Israel, so he's Chadrach. So this is the idea of the Mashiach that he is talking about, who's going to bring justice, who's going to bring fear to the world for the sake of Israel. However, Rabbi Yossi Bar Dur Miskis said, I don't understand, you're misinterpreting the Psukim. I live in the land of Damascus, I grew up in Damascus, and there's a suburb of Damascus called Chadrach, which means to say, that is the section of Damascus, and what is this prophecy referring to? It's referring to how the borders of Jerusalem will be so expanded, the rule of Jerusalem will be so expanded that it reaches Damascus. You know, in the last century we've witnessed that happened two times already, in the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War, where Israel expanded its territory to Damascus, and of course at that point in time, the world entered convulsions of fear for Israel's territorial advance. After Israel had defended itself, when the enemies were going into Israel, the world was not so concerned, but when Israel did reach Damascus, then the ringings of this prophecy ran in their ears, and they got very concerned, and they asked Israel to leave the poor, pitiful Syrians who had attacked them. So this is the expansion of this prophecy, which it seems to set two different tones, whether it being about Mashiach or about the times of the expansion of Yerushalayim around those times. What is the point of this section? What is going on here? What is Zechariah trying to tell us? So there actually is two ways of looking at this. One way of looking at this is that really this is actually looking backwards to the previous perek. The previous perek, as the Malbim points out, it finishes with this incredible prophecy where Jews will be seen as godly people to such a degree that in perhaps in an exaggeration or perhaps in reality, there's a description of how 10 non-Jews will be clutching on to the edges of the robe of a Jew to go to Jerusalem to see Hashem, to realize that the world is controlled by Hashem and the Jewish people are chosen. And in lieu of that, this is a continuation of all the nations around recognizing that. And that's what the Malbim says is going on over here. It's a continuation. The Arbavanel says no. Arbavanel has his agenda, which is that we are still talking to that delegation from Babylon. Two Parah came back, a delegation came from Babylon, and they said, we should really still be fasting on Tisha B'Av because we don't believe this is real salvation. And they had, the Abarbanel says, seven reasons why they felt that this, in fact, was not a messianic time. It was not the time that Hashem wanted or was choosing. And we got to five refutations, piece by piece, in the last Perek and Perek Ches. This is now the sixth refutation of the claim that they said, you know what? The reason why this can't be Hashem's will about the building the second Beis HaMikdash is because most of the Jews are not in Israel. So he says, well, says Abarbim, well, they're going to expand. Israel's going to expand its territory to all the nations around and all those people that used to have strongholds, whether it be in the areas of the south and the Gaza area, whether it be up to Syria, their Jews will all return. There'll be space. They'll settle in the land. Settle as in not settlers. Settle as in live in their ancestral territories. That's what's referring to over here. As a side note, it is interesting, if you look in the Abarbanel, he actually says that perhaps Tsoar, Tyre, is a veiled reference in the future to Venice, because the Phoenician port of Tyre was conquered twice, and ultimately they moved to many of the settlers resettled in the trade port of Venice, and that was also a trade port which had great power and was also conquered numerous times in history. Very fascinating historical note. Let's move into the second and last section of this perek, and this is a very powerful section. I want to read the first pasuk because it really sets the tone. Gili ma'od bas Tzion, rejoice so much, daughter of Zion. Hari'i bas Yerushalayim, call out, the daughter of Jerusalem. Hine malkeich yavolach, your king is coming to you. Tzadik v'noshahu, he is a righteous one. He is going to save you. Hu ani v'rochev al chamor. He's going to be riding upon a donkey as he comes. And he talks about in the continuation of this prophecy how there's no longer going to be war horses or the beasts of war or weapons of war in Yehuda and Ephraim. And you're going to be brought out through the blood of your covenant. Shilachti asirayich mibor ein mayim bo. I'm going to pull out those who are in exile, those who are in captivity from the waterless pit. And he talks about how everybody's going to come back. The people who did do it were asirei tikva. They were locked up of hope. They are going to come back and they're going to return to the land of Israel. And there will be peace. Hashem will be there, like v'yotzah kabarok chitzoi. Hashem's, so to speak, his sword will leave like lightning, and he will call on the shofar and ride the storms of Teman. And Hashem will protect us as you all come back. The avnei nezer, the beautiful gems, misnosesoy saladmos, will be seen on the land, and they will return. Bachurim. Young men and young women. What a beautiful section over here. In fact, we Meforshim understand that who are the Avnei Nezer, who are the jewels of Israel, or when you see the young men and the young women, when you look at the Yeshiva Bochrim, the seminary girls, the soldiers, when you look at these young people who are studying Torah, who are serving in the army, who are making the nation, who are cultivating the nation, that startup nation, the tech startup. When you look at these young, vibrant people making a nation, you are seeing the Avnei Nezer. You're seeing the jewels of Israel at the end of this prophecy, which is something we're witnessing today. What's going on in this section? What's happening over here? So the general way it's understood over here is that Barbanel says this is the seventh and last claim of the Babylonian delegation of Jews. They said, you know what, this isn't the right time because Mashiach hasn't come. So says Abarbanel, well, let me tell you something. There is going to be a Mashiach, and he's going to come. He's going to arrive. So this is the last claim against the Babylonian Jews. What's going on over here? What are all these descriptions that are happening over here? It sounds like, the Abarbanel points out, that there's going to be a unity between north and south. Yerushalayim will be the capital for the tribes of Ephraim and Yehuda. We've seen such prophecies in Yechezkel already, where there's unity, there's going to be peace, there's no longer going to be war among each other or externally, and everybody will come together. And even the Mashiach won't be ruling his dominion through power, but rather a humble, quiet person who will demand power through his magnitude of character rather than his arsenal of weapons. What does it mean to say that this king is coming on a donkey? It's a very strange description. So Abarbanel says, who's this referring to? It refers to Nehemiah, or maybe not Nehemiah, who's going to come as the Persian ruler. It's going to be referring to Yehudah Maccabee later on from the Chashmonaim. The Malbim and Rashi say, no, it's referring to Melech, much later on, referring to Melech HaMoshiach. And as Abba now expands this, he says, what the message is over here, you look at this Beis Hamikdash, you look at this very, very humble, this very small new yeshuv in this land, and you say to yourself, Babylonian Jews, ah, what is this? Is this really it? So says Abba Barbanel, turning to as Zechariah turns to him, and he says, you know what? The Mashiach can come riding a very humble donkey, because it's not about the magnitude of the weaponry. It's not about the magnitude of power. You know what it is? It's about your actions. If you were to act in accordance to the way Hashem wanted right now Mashiach could be coming riding his donkey. That's the way Abba Barbanel looks at it. What is fascinating, though, is that actually the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadit Ches Amud Aleph actually brings a stirim psukim. On one hand, in a Daniel, we're going to see when we get there, the description of Mashiach is Anane Shemaya, he's going to arrive on the clouds of heaven. Whereas over here it describes he's going to arrive on a donkey, much more humble. So what is it referring to? So the Gemara says, Zochu im Anane Shemaya, lo Zochu Ani Rochev Al Chamor. Actually, the description of the Mashiach arriving humbly is referring if lo Zochu, at the time when they did not have the Schus. So it's actually the opposite of the way the Mabrenel is describing it over here, that it depends on our merit or not. This is the more humble, the one who we perhaps don't deserve it. In fact, just to take it one step further, and this is perhaps how we'll end today, and that is the remarkable description over here. The Gemara in Brachos says on Nun Vav Amud Aleph, a fascinating insight, halachically speaking. If again, today it's less valid than before, but Haroeh Chamor B'Chalom. Let's say a person dreams and they remember distinctly a repetitive dream, and a donkey keeps appearing in their dream, and it wasn't because they went donkey riding with the kids at the farmyard that day, and it wasn't because physiologically they were eating, they had indigestion while they were looking at a picture of a donkey at supper. There seems to be a repetitive dream. So the Gemara tells us, Yitzapel Yeshua, a person should expect that they should see some sort of salvation, whether it be nationally or personally. Why quoting this pasuk? What does it mean? Why is this the chamor? Why is the donkey and the image? And says Rav Kook. Rav Kook got up in 1904, when Theodor Herzl passed away at an untimely age. Nobody was willing to talk about his complicated character, Zionism, secular Zionism. Rav Kook had just become the young rabbi, the chief rabbi of Yafo. He came to Yerushalayim and he gave our hesped b'Yerushalayim. He gave a hesped to Theodor Herzl, who's buried in Jerusalem. And he gave him the following hesped. At the very end of it, he quotes the Gemara at the end of that daf on Sanhedrin, Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. And he says that Rav Yosef says that when Mashiach comes, although there are those who say, Yesev Eloi Achlime, that let Mashiach come and I don't want to see it, it's too painful. The birth pangs of Mashiach, the wars, the suffering, the carnage will be too much to withstand it. Says Rav Yosef, let him come, but I want to sit in the shadow of the dung of his donkey. What does that mean? The shadow of the dung of the donkey? What is he talking about? Says Rav Kook, and that's how he ends it. He said, you know what? There's going to be a lot of chomrius. There's going to be a lot of chomer. The word chamor means to say, also is connected to the word chomer, which means to say gashmius, worldly things. You're going to have to start setting up a country again. You're going to have to set up a new language again. You're going to set up an army. You're going to have to set up agriculture, a new tech industry. You're going to have to deal with nanotechnology of incoming rockets at any split second. That's very difficult. And there's a lot of suffering that's involved. Says Rav Yosef, representing the Mashiach ben Yosef, he says, you know what, a lot of work needs to be done. Let me sit in the Chomrios. Let me sit in the shadow of the Chomer. Because you know what, Mashiach's going to come and he's going to ride on that Chomrios. He's going to ride on all of that complications and all those things that some people say, that's not the Judaism. That's not the Mashiach we're looking for. The Mashiach rides upon it. He rides upon the drained swamps. He rides upon the Yishuvim. He rides upon all those people who invested their lifeblood to make this country. That's how Mashiach comes. And that's what the Mashiach ben Yosef is riding. That is what Rav Kook explains. And that's what he said about Theodor Herzl. All the work he did, he drove himself to his death, going around the world trying and begging for a piece of land that the Jews could return to. So that's where Mashiach rides, upon that Chomrios. And that's the image that we're seeing here in Zechariah, the Perek Tess. And that's how it ends. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.